This episode of Shameless is brought to you by Dan's Daily, Dan Murphy's digital publication serving up the inside word on drinks, keeping you on top of what's new, what's good, and what you definitely need to know.
And welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined, as always, by Melbourne writers Michelle Andrews, that would be me, and Zara McDonald, that would be you.
Hello, and hello, producer Annabelle Lee.
Hello.
Hello. Coming up on today's show, so much stuff, you guys, including the rumours that Miley Cyrus's mum, Tish, married her daughter's ex-boyfriend. Plus, why are there thoughts and prayers for Hailey and Justin Bieber? What the hell is going on with the British royal family? Spice Girl Jerry Halliwell's marriage is in the tabloids for rather uncomfy reasons. The Guardian's blistering piece about Jay Shetty. And Glasgow's Willy Wonka experience has social media in a stranglehold. But first, Zara McDonald, how the fuck was your wedding?
It was great, guys. I am battling a little today still.
Zara didn't bring in her laptop.
I turned up to work without a laptop today, so I'm going off an iPad.
It's iconic.
It's not working well. I am limping and I have an eye twitch. I'm great. Everyone's like, you on cloud nine? I'm like, yes, sort of.
Cloud nine's kind of painful.
Yeah, I was like, I'm in pain.
Your cloud nine is just a glow down. Your wedding day was the most beautiful you've ever looked. Recently, though, your hobble in particular, you said to me, you texted me and you're like, don't give me shit about my hobble. And I was like, okay. And then I saw you walk into work and I'm like, don't give a shit. Don't give a shit. What's happened?
So I am limping very badly. My calves are struggling because I made a really great decision of changing over my heels into flats, ballet flats for the dance floor over the last sort of 3 hours.
Sensible. Yep.
And it turned out that because it was just polished concrete and all I tend to do when I dance is jump and jump and jump like an Energizer bunny, I have fully injured both my legs and I can't walk properly. And it feels like a bit. Like it feels like, yeah, we get it.
You can't hit so hard.
Oh my God. But I honestly can't move.
Any main takeaways you want to share with the listeners about your wedding?
I had a really fun time. I actually, do you know what's most astounding to me? I realized yesterday, I don't think I cried.
You didn't cry.
I was so happy. I was so beyond crying because I'm a real crier.
You are.
I cry at a drop of a hat. But I think I was so overwhelmed and actually surprised myself by just feeling so, so happy to see everyone that I just was smiling the whole time.
I cried. Your vows and Ollie's vows were some of the best I've ever heard. I cried when I walked down the aisle. I was the first bridesmaid to go. And then when I
to
saw...
go.
They all volunteered me as tribute as well.
So, but also, it's what we didn't tell you is as you're walking down, everyone turns around and goes, fuck, Michelle, that walk. It was just so, like, poised.
As I said on last week's episode, I was born to be a bridesmaid. Anyway, I was, like, walking down. I looked up. Ollie's face was so wholesome and vulnerable. That's what made me cry.
That's what made me cry at your wedding, looking up and seeing Mitch and him holding it together. I had the best time. I loved the ceremony. I felt like I was able to be so much more present in the ceremony than I thought I would.
Yep.
Just had the best time, had the best party. Big highlight of the night was the 10 to 15 gate crashes we had.
Really?
Did you not see them?
No, I totally missed them. I had a chat with one of them.
There was like these 10 to 15, I would say, 15-year-old kids. We're going to call them lads.
Lads. Definitely lads. That's why I miss them. One of me. Yeah. One of us.
They did not look dressed for a wedding. They sort of came in, sat down, and I look up and all I see is them being chased out of the room by one of Ollie's friends, Nick. I just see Nick with his arm up and his finger up chasing them out.
You get out of here.
And security just sort of walking behind. That was quite a funny sight. I thought good on them.
Why not give it a go?
Get some free food. Get whatever you want.
Try, I love it. I had the best time. Thanks for coming. Guys,
we had the best time on the dance floor. Randomly, Annabelle and I recorded one video on the dance floor.
Perfect.
We're gonna play it for you guys now and see if you can sense or suss any similarities to a recent snippet we played on the show.
Yeah.
Annabelle just found her
Again, none of the lyrics right.
But also, we didn't realise that was one video. Annabelle and I took
video.
We didn't click. It was the exact same song we recorded at your hands.
So you didn't think the song's on. Let's get a video.
No, completely unintentionally.
Hand on heart.
We just went, we love this song. Let's record it. And then I had this flashback on Monday being like, I've got to look back through the videos we took on the dance floor. Found this soul video.
That is
and went,
so
what
good.
What are the chances it's fucking Natasha Bedingfield unwritten again?
It's a cracker of a song.
So
it's the
good.
Unofficial song of shamelessness.
Yeah, people are going to think we don't listen to anything else.
Yeah. No, they know we don't.
For the sake of culture, we should, but
Olivia
we don't.
Olivia Rodrigo and Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. Look, bear with me today, guys. I might be in struggle town, but we'll see how we go. I have one recommendation for you, which is quite funny given what you just played out. I watched Anyone But You last night.
Oh, yep. No way.
Yeah, and I had been meaning to watch it for so long, but I just don't get to the cinema as often as I'd like. I bought it on Google or YouTube or something like that.
Yep.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Annabelle, you've seen it.
Yeah, I remember liking it like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little cringe.
That's not... I feel like that's not enough. I feel like a like has to be a 7+.
I loved it as a rom-com. Like if you need something, my brain needed just...
Sugar.
Mm. And I just needed to sit in front of something that I didn't have to think about. And I really enjoyed it. I loved Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. I loved the whole thing. The only thing that's embarrassing, I didn't realise there were Australian accents in this film. And God, there's something hilarious about how the Australian accent sounds in Hollywood movies.
It's a bit much.
It's
isn't
a
it?
Bit much. And I'm like, do we really sound like that? I think we do. Anyway, how are you? How was your week? What are you recommending? Take it away.
I mean, best week ever. I feel like my voice still doesn't sound the same after Zara's wedding, but maybe it's just the kind of thing in my head. Also, now when I swallow, ever since your wedding, my ear hurts. So
right.
That's not good.
Perfect.
So I think if there's ever been a rule that you guys need to plus or minus 10%, to everything
it's
we say.
35 today.
We're up against 35 for this episode, for one night only.
Lucky
you
guys.
One episode a year, plus or minus 35%.
Exactly. My recommendation is so mediocre. I'm so sorry. The whole week was just taken up by celebrating Zazie and Ollie that I didn't consume anything. I don't think I've read a single word.
I don't think that's the funny thing. That's why I watched Anyone But You last night, because I was like, I need to just consume something.
I haven't read, watched, listened to anything. And for that reason, I'm recommending a lipstick. It's a lipstick I've been using for maybe 3 years now. Ever since my wedding, I fell in love with this one. It's the Mecca Max Mean Girl lipstick. I'm recommending it because Zara turned to me on her wedding morning and said, I've gotten you something. She gave me a little goodie bag of some things.
And your favourite lipstick was in there?
And my favourite lipstick. And I thought, you know what? I have not read a word this week, but I have used this lipstick multiple times this week. And I just think for the listeners, if you're looking for the ultimate pinky, neutrally vibe, Mean Girl lipstick from Mecca Max, it's great.
Yeah, I love it. It's almost got like an orangey tinge, very, yes. very slightly. Like if you're thinking about Pillow Talk by Charlotte Tilbury being your really pinky nude, this is like your more...
Almost like a corally nude.
Corally nude. It's really good. And it's Mecca Max, so it's a bit more affordable.
Exactly. That's it.
That's it. Cool.
The end. On we go to the quick and dirty, baby.
All right. Now it's time for the quick and dirty. As always, we're bringing the top 5 or 6 or 7 stories from the rough and tumble.
She's using her iPad. Looking at you trying to scroll on your iPad, that's pathetic.
It wasn't good. It wasn't a smooth scroll. We've got 7 stories for you. Michelle, kick us off.
All right, our first story. I can't wait for this one. Untangling the rumours surrounding Noah Cyrus, Tish Cyrus and Dominic Purcell. That is from E! News. Yes, we are talking about Miley Cyrus's family, specifically her little sister Noah, who's 24, her mum Tish, who is 56, and Miley's new stepdaddy, Dominic Purcell, 54.
Yeah, this is a story that has lots going on, if I'm totally honest. And I'm surprised that it's a report that's kind of breaking now. To tell you what's been said this week, though, we need to kind of go back a little bit. You will remember, if you might have actually listened to our Miley Cyrus Scandal series, you will know that Miley's dad, Billy Ray, and Tish Cyrus were married for years, decades. They split in 2022. The following year, she married Dominic Purcell.
From Prison Break.
Correct.
You guys might recognize him. He was the brother stuck in prison on Prison Break. Now, when...
We don't know if that's true because we said plus or minus 30.
I have watched maybe 2 episodes and
there
I'm pretty confident about that. Now, when Tish and Dominic got married in August last year, something weird happened. While Miley and Tish's other children stood beside her as bridesmaids, two of the kids, Brayson and Noah, didn't attend the wedding at all. Brayson and Noah let the world know this. They wanted this to be a point of conversation because they posted a photo together at Walmart the day of the wedding to let the world know that they were together and not in attendance.
And we definitely knew this. Like, we spoke about this on the podcast at the time. It was very public that not all of the kids were at this wedding, and they wanted us to know that something was up. Like, they wanted us to kind of be aware that there was a little bit of friction. We now have a reason, or an alleged reason, a report that could explain what's going on here. Multiple media outlets are reporting that Noah, Cyrus, and Dominic were sleeping together before he started seeing her mum.
Sorry, these are
quite legitimate reports.
These are so
still anonymous reports, but still published in quite legitimate publications. Here's what a source told People. Noah and Dominic were seeing each other in a friends with benefits way on and off. They stopped seeing each other and then Tish started something up. Tish knew he'd been seeing Noah, but never gave Noah the chance to talk about all of this before they got married.
2 days after that People magazine report, someone from Miley's camp also spoke to People magazine. They said Miley had no idea about the drama with Dominic, no idea at all. She confronted her mum about it. She thinks it's a strange situation, but she loves her mum and wants her to be happy. I'm particularly invested in this story because I very recently listened to the Call Her Daddy interview with Tish Cyrus, and I didn't recommend it. I didn't talk about it on Shameless because I just got weird vibes. Like, there's something in that chat that just didn't sit right with me. I don't know about other people, but like, just a couple of little points in this interview was strange. Like, Tish said that her and Dominic moved super quickly. She said that their first date, they were just making out for hours at a bar. The next day, 1 day into seeing each other, they said, I love you to each other. It all moved super, super quickly. But
no judgment.
No judgment. A little bit of judgment
it's
on
quick.
My part.
It's very quick.
It's very quick. But also, Tish's dynamic, it wasn't like hearing a mum speak.
Yeah.
It was like hearing maybe a 22-year-old speak. And it's interesting because I wonder if now that her children are adults, Tish Cyrus's maturity has maybe regressed slightly, was the vibe I got.
You do see that though every so often with a parent that has quite a youthful energy. And then when their children get older, you can kind of see that dynamic even more starkly because the children become more mature even. I am most intrigued, to be honest, I know this is such a silly point, about the source coming out from Miley's camp.
How could you not know?
Exactly. I was like, bit of damage control there from Miley. I don't know. It's a really odd story to drop now. And I think my overriding question is, who's decided to take this story to the tabloids and why right now?
I think it's the Call Her Daddy interview.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think this interview was everywhere. It would have been listened to by millions of people. The focus of the interview was so closely tied to Dominic Purcell and that love story. I wonder if it was the straw that broke the camel's back that Noah or someone close to Noah heard it and went, you know what? Like, let's actually get some facts out about this relationship because
some facts.
some alleged reported in quotation marks facts out about this because the story that's being told to the world is maybe a little more clean cut than what the reality might have been.
Perhaps. Our second story, Stephen Baldwin asks Instagram to pray for Justin and Hailey Bieber. That is from Yahoo.
What an interesting one. Again, in case you missed it, Stephen Baldwin, the father of Hailey, has pulled his daughter and her husband, Justin Bieber, into the headlines, and not for the greatest of reasons.
No, this is a strange one. So this all started actually with a post from a guy called Victor Marks. Now, for context, Victor Marks, according to his website, is a humanitarian, filmmaker, author, and martial arts master. Good for him. And he, I think, is quite connected to the Baldwin family. Victor posted a video of Justin singing and playing guitar to a song called I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. And he overlaid this as the caption over the video. Christians, please, when you think of Justin and Hailey, take a moment to offer a little prayer for them to have wisdom, protection, and to draw close to the Lord. So that was overlaid on the video, on the reel. And then in the caption below that, he wrote, I seldom like to post about certain folks in the limelight because of the negative comments we get. Eileen, I think that's his partner, and Haley's mum pray often together for Justin and Haley and our children as well. There are special challenges that folks in high visibility positions face, and also the enemy doesn't want them to draw closer to Jesus. So often, regardless of the material things or the accolades, they often face spiritual warfare that intense and seeks to shipwreck their faith, marriage, and life in general. So thank you.
I won't lie, I'm a little lost.
Yes. It is interesting. What I can note from here is the acknowledgement that, yes, I wouldn't normally pray for somebody this high profile, this famous, wouldn't ask you to pray for them, but today I am because they need it. And then what happened after that is Stephen Baldwin, Haley's dad, reshared that reel to his Instagram stories.
So he's essentially backing up the sentiment of the post.
Yeah.
And saying, yes, please pray for Haley and Justin. They are facing special challenges. I'm just pulling out some keywords. Special challenges, spiritual warfare, things that seek to shipwreck their faith and marriage and lives in general. And obviously, I think people saw this and went, right, so the marriage is in trouble. Like, why would Stephen Baldwin share this, which is so specific and dire? Dare I say, the vibe you get from that caption is like, shipwreck their marriage,
yeah.
Spiritual warfare. Like, it gives the impression that these two are headed for divorce. Headlines pop up all around the world being like, what's going on in the marriage of Haley and Justin Bieber?
Especially because these are two who have dealt with a lot of headlines over their marriage. I think there's a lot of people that are surprised they've been married for so long, truthfully.
I think they're the number one celebrity couple that every year people go, divorce this year.
100%. After Stephen shared this post, the day later, they were spotted leaving church together. And then on the weekend came a really interesting one. Hailey Bieber had this very emphatic post celebrating Justin for his 30th birthday, Mish.
She posted a video of them kissing with, like, you know, all these photos of them together and wrote this caption, 30, that was fast. Words could never truly describe the beauty of who you are. Happy birthday to you, love of my life. For life.
They're not breaking up.
They're not breaking up, but something's up. I just like...
Something's going on, but they're not breaking up.
Okay, what's worse? What are you more annoyed at your parent about? Are you more annoyed at your mum for marrying the guy you used to sleep with? Or are you more annoyed at your dad for telling the world that your marriage is shipwrecked?
These criminal parents, I tell you.
Lock them up. Lock up Stephen Baldwin and Tish
What
Cyrus.
Do I think?
What's worse? I actually think Stephen Baldwin.
I don't think it's worse, but it's like...
It's not better.
The thing is, you're not cutting off your dad for doing this.
Are you cutting off your mum for sleeping
You're cutting off your mum for sleeping with your ex, but you're not cutting off your dad for telling the world to pray for you. You're just generally really annoyed, and that adds a layer.
Yeah. Okay, nah, you're right. Lock up Tish, don't lock up Steve.
Yeah, I reckon. Guys, coming up after the break, what is going on with the British royal family, and also what's going on with Jerry Halliwell and her marriage. But first, a word from today's sponsor.
Zara, I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways to step up my hosting game, and there's no better way to start than scrolling through Dan's Daily for some inspiration.
Even better if you're scrolling on an iPad. I love trying to impress my friends with a newfound cocktail recipe. Not only can I always rely on Dan's Daily for the most up-to-date tips, tricks, and trends, their articles are also accompanied by really beautiful imagery.
Yeah, I recently read their article on how to make DIY flavored ice, and it's made me so excited to hop on the trend of making beautiful and delicious ice cubes from home. The tricks are simple yet versatile, and they've even included their own range of ice cube trays. It's so easy.
I will be waiting for my invite over to your house. I've personally loved their recent article on what drink to pair up with our favorite takeaway meals. There are some unexpected couplings in this article, such as fish and chips and sparkling white wine. I quite like that one.
Yeah, whether you want to up your cocktail game, expand your wine knowledge, or discover what's trending in the world of drinks, Dan's Daily has just the article for you. Head to dansdaily.com.au now to discover the inside word on drinks.
Thank you so much to Dan's Daily for making this episode of Shameless possible.
Our third story, Queen Camilla is reportedly out of office. That is from The Cut. M'ladies.
What's going on?
What in the world is going on with the royal family right now?
A lot, I would think. Listeners who subscribe to our newsletter, Smart Dumb Stuff, well, congrats to you because it's the best newsletter on the internet. But otherwise, they would have seen our anonymous columnist, Frank, write about the social media commentary on Monday regarding Kate Middleton and where she is and how weird of a time it's been for the royal family, Hamish.
Yeah. So before we get to Camilla and her being out of office, let's quickly touch upon that. Twitter practically lit on fire late last week with speculation about Kate Middleton. To take it right back for context, the palace was open with the public in mid-January. They said that Kate would be taking 2 and a bit months off work to recover from scheduled / planned abdominal surgery. But essentially, there was cynicism straight away. People straight away believed that they were being told a lie. The palace claimed Kate then spent 13 days recovering in a facility called the London Clinic before returning home, where they said, you know, she's not going to be seen for 2 months. But many believed that that couldn't have been the case and that they needed photographic proof from the royal family to ensure Kate was okay. In February, importantly, a Spanish journalist said on live television that Kate was in a coma. That was widely reported by Spanish media outlets and then made its way onto socials and kind of in American tabloids and stuff too. Slowly, a consensus developed on Twitter that Kate is, quote unquote, the second Diana in some way, that she's either in danger or that she's holed up in the castle wanting to leave a shitty marriage from Prince William. There are so many conspiracy theories flying around right now.
Yeah, I mean, a very popular thread going around Twitter, I think, was that if she could show us her face immediately after giving birth, like on the day of giving birth, why, what is preventing her now from giving us a quick wave post-abdominal surgery? It's so interesting because it's like this again, I'm flummoxed about why it became such a thing over Twitter last week when this was something that we'd been told this whole time and I was trying to work it out. Is it because we hadn't seen her this whole time and people are like, come on now? Or is it because a lot of people actually didn't realize and now they're going back being like, oh, she's actually missing in action? There are some crazy, crazy conspiracy theories out there. A lot of people are saying, you know, ever since Kate's been in hiding, Banksy hasn't released any artwork. So.
Then the more popular one is she's had plastic surgery and wants time to heal out of the public eye. In a nutshell, there were already whispers about this, but what kicked them up into like overdrive frenzy mode was when William last week pulled out of his godfather's memorial service, citing a personal matter. That made people convinced that the marriage was somehow over or Kate was in danger. So much so that the palace broke their cardinal rule of never complain, never explain, and issued a follow-up statement, which we never really see from them ever. They said, we were very clear from the outset that the Princess of Wales was out until after Easter and Kensington Palace would only be providing updates when something was significant. The statement added that Kate was doing well. A couple of days after that, and I find this to be a really interesting development, TMZ published grainy pap shots of Kate in a car alongside her mother. You would think that this would chill people out. They'd go, we finally have a photo. She's alive. All good. But no. Last night, so Tuesday night, by the time that this episode goes out, my entire Twitter feed was full of more conspiracy theory chatter. The prominent thought was that these weren't images of Kate Middleton at all, that she actually had a body double sitting in the car pretending to be her. And I'm like, guys, with these things, we never pull out things that just have, you know, a couple of likes. I'm talking very popular tweets with 15,000 likes.
Oh, it's everywhere. Everyone's like, Kate Middleton, more like Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
Like, it's Katie Holmes' return to form. It was outrageous. It's my entire feed. And then I think what's strangest about this is because we've got Kate off recovering. We've got all these wild, wild, wild conspiracy theories. We've got King Charles, don't forget, going through cancer treatment. William taking personal leave. And we have then the most senior people turning up to work in Camilla and Prince Andrew, who's had to come back into the fold until Camilla announces she's taking a break as well.
Yeah. So here's what People magazine reported.
The Queen, 76, regularly schedules a break around this time of year, palace sources point out to People. One source said that it was a scheduled week of private time, which is usual for her at this time of year, and points out that it is not connected to King Charles's health. Queen Camilla's next scheduled royal occasion will be when she leads the family in the monarch's place at Westminster Abbey for the annual Commonwealth Day service on March 11. I find this so weird. For Camilla to take a break amidst what I would say is some of the most feverish royal speculation we've seen in years is a choice. It's a choice.
That's the thing. She's not on annual leave.
She's not. Something's up.
You're cancelling your annual leave. I don't think that the Charles Camilla Will thing is related to the Kate thing.
I agree.
I truly think, and I know Frank wrote this week, I truly believe that the Kate thing is almost exactly maybe what the palace says, some sort of extreme abdominal surgery. They don't want to go into the details because they also don't have to. It's a health issue.
It can also be super invasive. Ever seen anyone go through that kind of surgery, it can genuinely take months off work.
Exactly. I would say that that's probably, you know, going on by itself. And I think we're forgetting here that King Charles is going through cancer treatment. Camilla probably wants to be with her husband. I wouldn't be surprised if William needed to be there as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think everyone's looking to Kate Middleton and accusing TMZ of distorting photographs and all these bizarre things. I actually think the situation might be more with King Charles. I agree with Frank.
Yeah, our fourth story. Jerry Halliwell kisses, holds hands with husband Christian Horner at Bahrain Grand Prix after his alleged intimate text to female staffer leak. That is from Page Six. A bit going on here. There's also a bit of context we're going to need to give you before we roll through this story. So before I elaborate on this specific headline, I'm going to introduce you to Christian Horner. Annabelle, do you know who Christian Horner is?
Mm-hmm. He's the F1 person.
Nice.
Good job, Belly.
Get it. Now, Christian Horner is the head of Red Bull Racing. In F1 speak, it's a really, really big deal. Red Bull are the reigning champions of F1. They have the best driver in the world. They're definitely front and center at the sport at the moment. How would you describe Christian Horner to those who have never watched Drive to Survive?
Oh, what a question, Zara McDonald. He is the semi-arrogant, annoying cousin where you don't love his personality, but it's so irritating, Annabelle, because he's really successful. Oh. He's arrogant, but he has a reason to be. And he gets off. Christian Horner gets off on getting under people's skin.
Absolutely. I think of him as a little bit of an anti-hero because I think people hate him, but not completely. There's like 5% where it's like some of the shit he does is funny.
I kind of love it because he is an agent of chaos as well.
Yeah,
he's so happy to stir the pot. And as he stirs the pot, he somehow managed to just ascend to the very top of the F1 tree.
That's it. I think we've done it well. He Woohoo! Is married to Jerry Halliwell of Spice Girls fame, of course. They married in 2015. They share a 7-year-old son together.
There is speculation, by the way, on social media, the way these two got together might have been a little controversial as well. I just want to put that there as an asterisk.
Lots of speculation today. Lots of rumors. Last month, he was accused of coercive behavior toward a female colleague. That allegation, or those allegations I should have said, caused Red Bull to launch an independent investigation. Late last week, it was revealed that he had been cleared of any wrongdoing. And so we thought it was probably the end of the story. The investigation had happened. He was found okay.
Jerry
and good.
Christian were probably in their very fancy mansion breathing a big old sigh of relief.
Within a day, hundreds of messages, screenshots of messages were leaked, and images were leaked via an email sent to nearly 200 people, including journalists and other F1 bosses. Now, it's really important to note here that these messages have not been independently verified. So that's why if you're Googling them, it's very hard to find them. No news outlet is publishing the contents of them. For that reason, we won't be quoting them because, yes, it's a screenshot that said Christian Horner sent this, but Photoshop is a thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we won't quote them. We were going through them on the morning of your wedding.
We were.
We were sitting there and I was reading out to the room and some of our fellow bridesmaids were saying, are you guys working? We're like, no, this is our hobby.
You don't understand. No, this is not work, honey.
This is fun.
Now, all we can say, I think, is that if these messages are in fact between Christian Horner and a colleague, they are not great if you are Christian Horner's wife.
No. I would not be happy.
No.
Now, very soon after this news broke, Daily Mail published this. Jerry Halliwell has been left extremely humiliated by F1 boss husband Christian Horner's text leak as friends say latest scandal will destroy her after he promised there was nothing in it. The humiliation, like, we don't know, right? Like, this is all speculation at this point, all reports. Red Bull has cleared Christian Horner, yep. So we need to put that on the record. If there was a world where Christian Horner had been unfaithful or had inappropriately messaged a colleague, it's bad enough to do that to your wife. To then have her humiliated on a global scale like this, I would feel sick for Jerry Halliwell.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so fascinating to me because we had a couple of reports around straight away about Jerry furious about it. There were other reports about allegations that this colleague was one that Jerry may or may not have helped get a job at Red Bull Racing. And then straight away, all eyes were on that weekend's F1 race in Bahrain. And there, Jerry and Christian arrived together. She was in her textbook white/cream, because that's all she wears. And they arrived together holding hands and smiling. They even exchanged a kiss in front of the cameras. Mm. And I always find it so astounding that in the midst of something so chaotic and so many intense rumors, that people can really look at ease in front of that many cameras, because they did look at ease.
They looked blissful.
Yeah.
Blissful. It really, watching this unfold and looking at the photos online and the video of them walking in did make me think of that TV show, The Good Wife. I don't know if you guys remember that. Just the idea that in the face of public scrutiny, women have to perform this like loving, supportive wife role sometimes. I would love to know what the conversation sounded like in the car in the lead up to them getting out and holding hands and kissing.
They might have said their text messages aren't real.
Oh, don't get me wrong, but I think it might have been totally blissful and fine.
It might not have been.
And if it wasn't, brava to the acting from Jerry Halliwell, because, I mean, you say you would be the next Margot Robbie. Perhaps Jerry Halliwell is the next Margot Robbie.
I do agree with that. Our fifth story, uncovering the higher truth of Jay Shetty. That is from The Guardian. My goodness.
Jay, for those not quite familiar, is the monk turned self-help guru, turned best-selling author, turned world famous podcaster, turned friend of the Hollywood elite. We mentioned him only a couple of weeks ago on Shameless because he was one of the stars in J-Lo's new film, This Is Me Now. He actually also officiated J-Lo's wedding to Ben Affleck in August of 2022.
Yes. Now, it turns out LA-based journalist John McDermott has been looking into Jay Shetty's background for a year now, with rather interesting results. Now, John says that Esquire magazine actually assigned him to write a profile of Jay, but after he attended one of Jay's stage shows last March, he became a bit skeptical about who the real Jay Shetty was. And so Esquire killed his piece when they learned it wouldn't be the buzzy profile they were after, but an investigation mission to some pretty sticky terrain.
Yeah. So Esquire said, no, thank you. We want the sugar. And then The Guardian said, yes, please. We will run that story. And now it's out in the world. So in this Guardian piece, the way Jay Shetty's influence was broken down is pretty fascinating. Here's how John McDermott wrote it. His On Purpose podcast has featured a litany of high-profile guests, including Michelle Obama, Kim Kardashian, and Matt Damon, as well as Kobe Bryant, who gave one of his last interviews before his tragic death. Shetty has written two bestsellers, Think Like a Monk, a 2020 memoir/self-help guidebook based on his time studying Hinduism, and 2023's 8 Rules for Love for helping people better maneuver their romantic relationships. Calm, the meditation startup worth a reported $2 billion, has given Shetty the title of Chief Inspiration Officer. Shetty also has a life coaching business, the Jay Shetty Certification School, where students pay thousands of dollars to learn the Jay Shetty discipline. He has 14 million followers on Instagram and 6 million across his 2 YouTube channels. It's a remarkable rise to fame for a man who says that just 13 years ago, he was living as a penniless monk in India.
Yes, which brings us quite naturally to the crux of this piece, right? At best, journalist John McDermott says that Jay Shetty has exaggerated his backstory. At worst, John McDermott says that Jay Shetty has outright lied about it. Mm. This piece suggests that while Jay Shetty did go on a journey of spiritual discovery, the vast majority of it took place in Watford, the town in northwest London, not in solitude in an ashram in a village near Mumbai for 3 years, like Jay Shetty's often claimed.
Yeah. During these supposed years of life off the grid, John McDermott found evidence that Jay was actually making viral YouTube videos and writing.
Sorry, it's a bit of an offbeat month. They're making viral YouTube videos.
And he was writing regularly in a blog in Watford, which makes some of the quotes that Jay Shetty's given over the years a little clunky and awkward. For example, he told The Morning Show last year, "I had forgotten how to do small talk. I didn't know who the Prime Minister was. I didn't know who won the World Cup. I didn't even know how to have a conversation that wasn't deep and meaningful." It's just like...
That's a bigger flex than my limping one.
And let me say, I'm all for adding a bit of mayo. I think the listeners know that of me by now. Sometimes a story needs a little razzle-dazzle to make it sparkle. But the razzle-dazzle of, "I didn't know who the Prime Minister was when you were potentially living in Watford,"
is
a stretch.
Oh, that's beyond razzle-dazzle. That's diamonds glistening in the sun. John McDermott also wrote that Jay Shetty's life coaching school, which charges $11,300 AUD per term, makes bogus claims about the diplomas that people graduate with. So while the Jay Shetty Certification School claims that students leave with a postgrad diploma level 7 qualifications, which is the equivalent to a master's degree, these claims were denied by the relevant accreditation bodies in the UK. According to the school's brochure, they've had 1,100 students, meaning about $7 million in revenue.
Yeah, there's also a comparison in this piece that it could be seen as a multi-level marketing scheme, because essentially the life coach school that Jay runs is predicated on this idea that you become a life coach and then you try, well, at least some of the employees, it seems, try to recruit people to then do the same course. And the way they make money is commission. However many people they can get into the school is how they get paid. So I just wanted to include that because I found that to be interesting. I also had no idea Jay Shetty had a life coaching business. No. And I just find it interesting. Also of interest was Jay's apparent connections with the controversial Hare Krishna movement. Now, Hare Krishna is kind of the colloquial term. It's also known as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, also known as ISKCON. So we'll use ISKCON going forward. For the unfamiliar, ISKCON was deeply controversial in the 70s, 80s, and 90s for reported cult-like behavior, alleged child abuse. There are a couple of like murder cases, just a bunch of quite shady stuff. So openly aligning yourself with ISKCON is not without issues. In 2016, just before he became famous, Jay Shetty reportedly spoke to an ISKCON-affiliated website about how he planned to make Hare Krishna more palatable to a younger audience. According to The Guardian's piece, he told this website, "We can connect people across the world with Krishna consciousness and start a revolution online." Which is weird when you then read his book 4 years later, which has the quote, "This book is completely non-sectarian. It's not some sneaky conversion strategy, I swear."
I mean, the only thing I will say to give benefit of the doubt in that specific case is there are 4 years between those things.
Yes.
People can change their mind. It just doesn't look good when it's written back to back. John McDermott reported on this. One ISKCON member says Shetty is to the organization what Tom Cruise is to Scientology, a magnetic, media-friendly ambassador for an otherwise controversial religious institution. His sheer fame serves as a recruitment tool. I mean, then you've got that perspective as well. By 2018, he had moved to LA. By the end of the year, he was Will Smith's personal spiritual advisor. And here we are today.
Yeah, Jay Shetty's lawyers really denied a lot of the claims in this piece, so we want to make that clear as well. But it's a fascinating read and we'll chuck it in the show notes.
Yeah, our sixth story. Bradley Cooper says he wasn't initially sure if he really loved his daughter. That is from USA Today.
That is a perfect example of when celebrities could just say less.
Say a little bit less. I don't know. I feel a couple of conflicting things about this story, so I'm looking forward to talking to you guys about it. Bradley Cooper reappeared on Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard and Monica Padman this week, and the man is making waves for what he said. In that chat, he spoke a lot about family and what it's like being a dad. He spoke of how he believes the daughter he shares with Irina Shayk, who is turning 7 in March, saved his life, that she's acted as a real anchor for him. I did listen to this, and it is so clear how much Bradley Cooper credits his child for keeping him on the straight and narrow, for keeping him alive, for centering him, how it's the biggest job he's ever had. So he says all of this, and I want to make that really clear. He also said, though, that he may or may not have loved her for the first 8 months of her life. I'm going to play you a snippet of this exchange so you can hear the tone of it all.
I remember the first time I realized, because everyone's like, I would die in a second for my kid. I'm always like, if I'm being honest, I don't know. Like the first 8 months, I'm like, I don't even know if I really love the kid.
We don't know
it's
her yet.
It's dope. It's cool. I'm watching this thing morph. And then all of a sudden.
I love that honesty, by the way.
That's my experience.
That's a lot of people's, I think, and they're afraid to say that.
I mean, my experience was totally that. Fascinated by it. Love taking care of it. Would I die if someone came in with a gun? It's only a couple of months. I don't know.
Like she just arrived. She hasn't even had any drinks.
I'm not committed yet.
She is. I don't know. She could be an asshole.
A psychopath.
I could be doing you a favor.
Who knows?
And then all of a sudden, it's like, no question.
Beyond it being a very interesting thing to say publicly, can we have a moment for him referring to the baby as it multiple times? God.
What was the if someone came in with a gun bit as well? It. I appreciate that it's part of a broader interview that probably had very heartfelt moments.
It did.
That sound lovely.
Yes.
That snippet is very jarring to listen
it's
to.
It's quite jarring, isn't it?
And like, I get it. I think there needs to be space for parents to say the uncomfortable realities of parenthood. Like, absolutely. But to make his 7-year-old daughter the face of not loving your kid for 8 months and calling it and not caring if someone came in, like the whole gun bit just was like a complete train off the tracks moment. I just think celebrities could be so much more considerate about the ways they throw loved ones into the spotlight unnecessarily and make their loved ones the faces of things they don't need to.
I think once again, this is like a media training point for me, where at the age of 49, Bradley Cooper's been famous for what? Probably 15, 20 years. In what world is this the joke you crack on a podcast? As Monica Padman says, and as you say, there always should be space for having conversations about the different ways that parenthood looks and the kind of very complex feelings that parents can feel when a baby is brought into the world. Absolutely. The framing, again, I really wanted to give this the benefit of the doubt. In fact, I think I intended to do that.
And then you heard it again.
And I was like, it's so hard because when you listen to the whole conversation, you're like, oh, I can see it. But when you're cutting up a snippet, it feels very different. I don't know, Annabelle, what do you think?
Yeah, he should know by now that someone will cut that up.
Yes.
Because he's not, like the sentiment, as you guys say, is so real for so many parents. Yeah. But soften it.
Don't
bring also a gun into the conversation.
And say, like, I didn't adapt as well. Yeah. Like, make yourself the center of it.
Yeah. Well, I actually also think the public gives the benefit of the doubt. If it's a sentence or two that are clunky and then you course correct, that's very different, right? Like, yeah, maybe some media outlets would be shitty and pull out your one clunky quote and use it. That snippet went on for like a minute.
I know.
Of just like the comments kept coming and the shitty things kept coming. I think we all have a bit of grace to people who say something quite flippant and we go, oh, they're being flippant, and then they kind of bring it back to the tee and they start referring to their baby as her or he or whatever instead of it again, and they don't bring up the gun thing. For him to go so far off repeatedly, like every sentence got worse, that's where I think the public is within their right to say, this is a fucking stupid thing to say on a show.
I kind of agree with that. Our seventh and final story. The man behind Willy Wonka Experience apologizes, denies using event to pay for wedding. That is from the Rolling Stone. This is the silliest story of the week. Over in Glasgow, children and families are outraged over Willy's chocolate experience, which, as Rolling Stone noted, was a cleverly trademarked skirting name for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, this experience was meant to offer fans of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory a chance to experience the story's candy-coated wonderland for themselves. Mm. Now, the BBC reported it was billed as the place where chocolate dreams become reality, and it also promised surprises at every turn. Surprises at every turn. It delivered. This thing ended up being an industrial area that people described as little more than an empty warehouse. Some went as far to call it something that looked like a meth den.
Oh!
That's what they all reported.
What I loved was seeing the imagery used to advertise this event, which was generated by AI,
all
apparently.
Generated by AI.
Which did look like a chocolate-coated wonderland compared to the actual photos taken inside the event. It was like someone saying you're going to see a lion at this thing and then rocking up and seeing a chihuahua with like a hat on.
Yeah. 1,000%. It was the most depressing room I'd ever seen. Apparently families and kids were lining up once they walked in. There was outrage and chaos. Children were offered half a cup of lemonade and a small ration of jelly beans. There has been conjecture over this. I have read somewhere that they were offered 2 jelly beans and a quarter of a glass of lemonade. Now, all I will say about this is I don't want to victim blame anyone who bought tickets to this. By the way, I think they spent about £35 or £45 per ticket.
Yikes.
But this event was created by a company called House of Luminati, which all I'm saying is pretty close to Illuminati, and I wouldn't trust anything. Now, angry guests after this started to create a Facebook group where they would campaign to get refunds. They also tried to expose the organizer of this event, a guy named Billy Cool, for his allegedly shady past, which includes putting together AI-generated thriller novels.
Can we buy one and read a passage out next week?
Well, apparently they actually have like quite right-wing themes as well, which are
never
quite
mind. Not them.
Now, Billy has released a statement about this. He apologized. He went on to deny a rumor that he was using the money for the event to pay for a wedding and honeymoon. Someone who's got married knows how expensive they are. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Sarah's gonna throw the ears to a 2.0 in Melbourne.
He said, regarding a personal matter, there will be no wedding, and no wedding was funded by the ticket sales. This is a difficult time for me, and I ask for your understanding and privacy.
Wait, so is he saying his fiance has left?
No.
What does he mean, regarding a personal matter, there will be no wedding?
I don't know. All of it.
All of it, question mark.
I don't know. He said he will rectify the matter, whatever that means. So he sort of said he will give refunds. I haven't seen anyone get one yet. And apparently a new horror movie is being rushed into production now based on a character that was at this Wonka experience called The Unknown.
There are so many stories in this story. I'm so confused.
So, The Unknown was a character that wasn't obviously a part of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that was created for this experience. It's so scary that now people are creating a horror movie around it.
Okay. I've read reports that the police were called.
I'm sure they were.
I heard that the parents were so grumpy that like a fight broke out between them and Billy Cool.
Yeah, I heard that there was like a lot of aggression.
Wow.
I know. And that's that. That's all we've got for today.
This doesn't feel that far off attending like when you're a kid and you're promised that you're going to some of those shows where you get a lolly bag but you have to pay $25. Not that different, dare I say.
Oh, I think a little different. They got 2 jelly beans and a quarter of a glass of lemonade. What did somebody think of the children? Guys, slow end. Slow sort of.
We tend to do this these days.
We're sort
not
of
our strongest
like
ending again.
Not committed to the ending of the show.
So why don't we, someone crack a joke. Oh, no. I can prepare a joke.
No, that's all.
What's the difference between... What's the difference between a lobster with boobs and a bus station? And not a bus station. This is so bad.
What is the difference?
I don't know. One is a busty bus station. The other is a crusty bus station. We saved it. You did it, Michelle.
Honestly, we just came out of nowhere
to give the
strongest ending to any episode anyone's ever given. All right, bye guys. See you on Monday. Bye.
Shameless Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favorite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.